All right. Well, welcome back. Hopefully, everybody here enjoyed a little bit of food. That is Nick Charlebois. You know, was out of practice.
You're getting better and better every time.
Hey, you know, I'm Christopher Harrison, and this is SharePoint Online Development for Office 365, or again, our online version, if you will, of the Dev Camps. And again, Labs 3 and 4 is what we're working our way through. Now, Nick has been doing a fantastic job this morning, but I'm going to take over now because, you know, I need a little love here. I need a little attention. So I'm going to pick it up by taking a look at the Office 365 APIs and how we can start to hook into them. And this is really kind of a nice contrast to what it is that Nick has done. So Nick has been focused in on, hey, how do we take an app and we put this into SharePoint, be it on-prem or online? And now what we're going to do is we're actually going to see, well, if we've got stuff inside of Office 365, how can we connect to that from outside of Office 365? Now, unfortunately, I went a little too soon on my slide, so now we can go back and see, hey, I've got some lab notes for you here. If you are following along, one of the things, just to try and keep things moving, is again, this is going to be lab 4 that we're doing, and you'll just need to complete exercise 1 in order for this to work. Now, honestly, exercise 1 isn't a whole heck of a lot of anything. All that you're going to do is you're going to create a couple of contacts, you're going to upload a file, you're going to create a list, and all of that's basic like SharePoint 101 stuff, and so I don't really feel the need to get in and take a look at how it is that we're going to do all that. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and start to talk about how we're going to connect up to Office 365 from outside of Office 365. Now, the first part that we need to really focus our attention on is how are we going to get authenticated and authorized? Because we don't want to allow simply any app to just start throwing usernames and passwords at our Office 365 tenant. Then we want to make sure that it's only coming from places that we trust. In addition, we also need to figure out, okay, well, where is that Office 365 implementation and what features are available and how am I going to connect up to them? But first up, let's go ahead and talk about authentication and authorization, and that's going to be with Azure Active Directory. So here's the thing. With Office 365 device apps, we can actually create apps that are going to really actually be anything it is that you might want. So there's like, you know, a couple of web UIs here. We've got an old style Windows form app. And it really is that you can utilize the Office 365 APIs from anywhere. And so that's going to include if you're connecting up by utilizing a web app, MVC, which is what I'm going to do. But that also is going to hold true if you're doing iOS, if you're doing Android, if you're doing Node. Regardless of what it is, and regardless of where your app is hosted, you can still connect out to Office 365. And what's nice about that is that it then gives you that opportunity to use that as the background service. And like I mentioned earlier this morning Pacific time, that if I save a contact out to Office 365, and then I go grab my lovely Lumia 1020, I can access that using the exact same contacts app. And that would be true if I was holding an iPhone in my hand, that would be true if I was holding an Android in my hand, that it's gonna be the exact same app, because with all of those, you can go ahead and connect up to Office 365 contacts and be able to access that.
Yeah, that's so easy, actually, Dad. I heard Christopher's working on the Commodore 64 application.
As a matter of fact, I am. Yes. Bring back the Commodore 64. Hey, all right. But anyway, I also have an awesome Commodore logo shirt. So where was I? Oh, yeah. Azure Active Directory. So one of the things that I mentioned a couple of minutes ago is the fact that we need to make sure that we're only allowing certain apps to send authentication requests into Office 365, and then in turn, we need to control what it is that they're allowed to do. So if you remember, to kind of compare this to what Nick did earlier, that what Nick did is he took an app and he put that into Office 365. So that's basically the moment where you're going to say, well, we now trust this app because we went into Office 365 and we said, trust this app. And then also as part of that, Nick had to say, well, we want this app to be able to perform the following tasks. And so the exact same thing is going to hold true here, the exact same concepts, that we need to say, well, this is the app that we trust, and we need to say that the app is going to be able to perform this. And so it's sort of the same concept, but it's just going to be through a different screen. So this time through, it's going to be through Azure AD. And so what we're going to do inside of Azure AD is we're going to say, here's our app, and give it an ID and a key. And that's going to be the authentication part for the app. That's where we say, okay, well, now we know who this app is. And then what you're also going to notice is that when we go to launch that app for the first time, it's then going to say, hey, this application needs to be able to X, Y, and Z. And do you want to trust it to perform those tasks? And now it's up to you to decide whether yes or no. So again, very similar concept-wise, just a couple of different screens that we're going to go through to allow for that to happen. So again, we need to register the application. And you'll notice there's a whole bunch of apps that you could go off and pick. Or if you want to go in and create your own app, you can do that. And you could do that through Azure AD. And we'll actually get in and take a look at that here in just a couple of moments. Or you can actually let Visual Studio take care of that for you. All right. Enough babbling, enough talk. Let's go ahead and take a look at a little example here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire up my browser here. And I'm going to head on over to manage.windowsazure.com. And I'm going to ask Barry to not show my screen here for just a moment. There we go. Only just because I know it's going to bring up a portal here with a couple of addresses I can't have displayed out. And I'm going to log into this with my... There we go. That's my login sound effect. But I'm going to log into this with my developer tenant. Now, if this is your first time walking through this process, and you go to manage.windowsazure.com, and you punch in the username and password for your Office 365 developer tenant, you're going to get an error message. And what that error message is going to say is, hey, you don't have an Azure account. Well, you do, but it hasn't been activated yet. That when you set up Office 365, you will get an Azure account. You just have to walk through the activation process for that as well. So when you get that little screen, it will give you like four little options. One of them will be like sign out. Another one will be try again. Another one will be something else that I'm not remembering. And then the last will be to actually sign up for your account. So you'll click on that. It will then prompt you for your name and billing info and all that good stuff. And then you'll just walk through the wizard. And away you go from there. So if you're getting that little white on the outside, gray screen, kind of blue fringe, if you will, if you're getting that screen and it's saying, hey, you don't have an account, all you have to do is just simply click on either sign up or I think the text is sign up.
Yeah, it is. So it's the first option up there.
Okay, yeah, first option. First option, it'll say sign up, and then you can just go ahead and sign up that way. So here is mine for my developer tenant, and what I want to do is just highlight the fact that I've got nothing inside of here. The only thing that I have inside of here is just my little Microsoft Azure Active Directory. And then if I click on this, you're going to notice that I could actually go in and start managing the different users that I want to allow have access. I've only got just the one. I could set up groups if I wanted to, which I don't. And then here's my apps. And this is really actually what we wanted to highlight here. So this is the list of all of our apps. And there are two that are worth pointing out right away, which is the Exchange Online and the SharePoint Online. Leave those two alone. Don't delete those, because that's actually what's going to allow Exchange Online and SharePoint Online to work. Now, the other ones you could go in and play with on your own and add and remove and so forth. And you'll notice from inside of here that I would have the option to add, and then I could say, well, this is going to be an application that my organization is developing, and then I could give this a name. I'm very creative in my naming, so I'm just going to call this demo, and then I can hit next, and then it will ask me for the URL and for the app app ID, or if I was doing a native client app, then it would ask me for the redirect URL. And so you could go ahead and provide that, and away you go from there. But honestly, I always find it much easier just to do it inside Visual Studio. And if I fire up my GitHub Office Dev here, and then I scroll on down to the DevCamp training, because after all, these are the steps that that we're walking through, and I bring up the steps for the hands-on lab for this, what you're going to notice is that they walk us through getting into exercise two here. They walk us through getting in and creating a brand new project and doing it through Visual Studio. And so that's actually the way that that I'm going to do this, that I'm going to walk through these little steps right here to go in and create that. Okay, so with that, let's go back to Visual Studio here. And I'm just going to create a brand new project. Project. There we go. Chugga. And now I'm going to leave this with the default for ASP.NET application. I'm going to give this a name of MVA-ILL. That's way too many capital letters. MVA-Demo-ILL. Demo. Oh, there we go. We'll leave it like that. Okay. So I'm going to leave it just the way that that it is. I'm going to click OK. And now it's going to ask me to set up my my initial starting point. Now, for those of you following at home, stop. Because there's a very good chance, I mean, if you're anything like me, and I know I am, one of the things that I have a tendency to do, especially on this screen, is just hit OK. Because I would say probably, thank you, 9 times out of 10, what I want is I want the default setup. So I want the identity, and I want the bootstrap, and I want all that good stuff. And so you just sort of get into automatic. Here's the catch. You don't want to be in automatic here. Because let's talk this thing through. What we're going to do is we're going to create a web app. And this web app is going to use Office 365 as its back end. We're going to need to authenticate our users. So the question then becomes, well, how are our users going to authenticate? And the answer is, they're going to authenticate against Office 365. So what we need to do is we need to take those usernames and passwords that are going to be provided and pass them into Office 365. So we are going to need to now go in and say, hey, instead of just using the normal individual user accounts, which is typically what we would do, we need to hit change authentication and just scroll on over, choose organizational accounts, and then go ahead and punch in the domain name that you now want to use. Now, from here, you're going to notice under more options, you can then go in and specify whatever you want your app ID URL to be. It just needs to be unique. That's really the only thing that that matters. And then I'm going to click on OK. And then it's going to say, hey, wait a minute. You want to use that that back end for authentication. You got to prove to me that you actually have permissions there. So I'm just going to log in. There we go, and type in my password, and I'm just gonna say, yes, keep me signed in, and hit sign in. And then, this is one of those little disconcerting parts, because you'll hit sign in there, and then it just takes it a moment, and then you'll hit okay, and then it will just sort of take it a moment, and then it will eventually come back. That was actually much faster than it typically is, which is sort of odd. Usually when you're doing a demo, it takes longer than you expect. Now that actually went a little bit faster. Now it's going to go ahead and create my project and do all that little magic behind the scenes, which is going to be good because it'll give me an opportunity to have a sip of water. Cool. So now there is my my basic little MVC4 app. And again, there's really nothing special about this application. It really is just a normal ASP.NET MVC4 app. And that's exactly the goal here is there's nothing special here. It's just a normal little application. Now I am gonna just kind of cheat a little bit and just kind of walk through a couple little steps inside the lab, you are going to notice that it will then say, hey, install the Office 365 API tools. I already have them installed, so I don't need to go back in and reinstall them. If you haven't already installed them, you will need to go in and do that. These were updated relatively recently, so you may need to go in and do an update. And again, I've been on the system before, so I know that I'm good there. But you will need to install the Office 365 tools. I don't need to do that. Now, again, remember what it was that Nick did before. So, okay, so here's the app. This is the app that we're now going to use. And then we have to say, well, this is what we want the app to be able to do. And again, we could actually go into the Azure Active Directory, and we could do that inside of here, that I could actually go in and give that a second. I don't know why I hit F5 on that. That's all right. We'll give this a little second here. Let this come up. Chugga, chugga, chugga. And moving the mouse makes it go faster. Thank you. Thank you, Barry. See, I'm not going to be talking for very long today, so you're going to have to burn through all of those lower thirds real quick. In any event, so there is our little items. And so you could actually go into here, and of course, neither of these apps are going to give me what I want. But you would actually have to go into there and say, all right, well, I want it to be able to do this, or I want it to be able to do that. We can actually do that right through Visual Studio by creating a connected service. So this is going to be where we're going to set up our permissions. And the way that we're going to do this is just by right-clicking on our MVA demo here, and then say Add, and then say Connected Service. Now, if you go in, and you right-click, and you say Add, and you say Connected Service, you don't see Connected Service. The reason for that is you don't have the tools installed. So if you don't have the tools installed, go install them, close Visual Studio, reopen, and then that will appear. But you will need the tools in order to do that. So let's just go back in, right click, add, and then connected service. And now you're going to notice that it'll say, all right, well, now you got to register your app. So I'm going to click register your app. And again, it will prompt me to log on, because I'm going to be creating that inside that Azure Active Directory. There we go. There we go. And then give that just a moment. And now it's going to show me all the different permissions that that I can apply. And so I could go in and say, for example, contacts, and click permissions. And then what you're going to notice is that I would then have the ability to read user contacts or potentially have full access to user contacts. So I'm going to click read user contacts. There we go. And I'm going to hit apply. And then you'll notice that I could actually do the same with mail if I so desired. So I'm actually just going to say read user's mail. But one thing that's worth highlighting here is it is in fact possible to send mail as a user. Somebody had asked that in the Q&A earlier. Is that possible with the Office 365 APIs? And the answer is 100% yes. So you could go ahead and choose that. You'll also notice on My Files that I could choose if I want to be able to read or edit, delete. And then you'll also notice on Sites that I can choose what it is that that I want to be able to do. And I'm actually going to choose everything there. And I'm doing that because I kind of know where our demo is going to be going. Now, before I hit OK here, one last little thing to keep in mind is when you're choosing these permissions, go with least privilege. Which of course means that you're only going to ask for what you need to do and nothing else. And that's a best practice everywhere you go in security, but it's doubly so here because the user has to say yes to your app. And it's an all or nothing proposition. So they either have to say yes and they're going to trust the entire thing, or no and they're going to trust none of it. And think about this again with your phone, that if my phone says, well, we want to be able to access your contacts, we want to be able to access your geolocation, and we want to be able to access your calendar, you don't have the ability to say, well, I only want you to be able to use my contacts. It's an all or nothing proposition, otherwise the app won't install. Same exact concept here, it's an all or nothing proposition. So if you don't need it, don't ask for that permission. All right, So now I'm just going to hit OK and let that do its thing. And now it's going to update my Azure Active Directory for me and set all of that up. So we'll just give that a couple of moments. And now all of that is created. Now, one last little thing here. So it's got all of that. Actually, two last little things. Number one is I do need to update the redirect URIs because it will automatically include HTTP without the HTTPS. I don't want that. I only want it to be using HTTP. And then the other thing is there is going to be a NuGet package that we need to add that's not listed here. So let's go in and just real quick, right-click, add, and connected service. And then I'm going to go into my app properties, and let's just get rid of that HTTP. There we go. There we go. And then the next thing is I do need a NuGet package. So right-click, manage NuGet packages, and then just do a search for Office 365. And we'll just give this a moment to come back with my results. And what you're going to notice is that there is an Azure Authentication Library for Active Directory. So we just need that for this project. Unfortunately, setting up the connected service doesn't automatically add this in. So we just need to do that on our own. So again, just search for Office 365. It's the Office 365 Authentication Library. And then just hit install. And then accept, and then we'll give that just a couple of seconds here. Okay, cool. And so now what we've done, what we've accomplished, is we have set up our application inside of Azure Active Directory, and we've requested the permissions that we are going to need, and we added in the library. All right. Well, now it's time to actually start creating some code here. And there is a handful of pre-coded files that are available and the little home controller. And I'm going to go grab all of those in just a minute. But before we get into that, let's actually kick back over here to our slides and start talking about the discovery service. So the first thing that we're going to need here, if we're going to connect up using Office 365 to the back end, is we need to figure out, okay, well, where are we going to go? How are we getting there? You know, what are the URLs that I'm going to need? What are the permissions that I'm going to need, et cetera? And that's exactly what the discovery service is there for, that it's going to give us the collection of endpoints for the current user. And so it's intended as that starting point for your app. So that's what you're going to be using when you go to sign in, when you go to get authorized and get your token and so forth. And fortunately, there are API libraries that are going to simplify the code that you want. So they give you a little code snippet right here that kind of shows off how it is that you're going to go off and do it. But I really think the best thing to do is to get in and actually take a look at the demo here and get in and actually do it. Okay. So back over here to our lab, there's a couple of little items that we need. You are going to notice that it's going to want us to go grab a couple of files for models and utils. So I'm going to do that very simply. And by the way, if you don't know where those files are, let me actually do this, go back over here. What's going to be the easiest way? There we go. Again, this is the DevCamp training repo. And so what you could do is just simply clone it, and that would allow you to download all the files. Or if you just want, you know, the quick and easy way to do it, then you can just click download zip, and then you could pull that down that way. Okay. In any event, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this slightly easier here. This is actually one of my favorite little Visual Studio features. There's my DevCamp training for SRC, and I'm just going to go into the completed lab because I just want to go in and grab it that way. All right, so what I want is I want the models folder, so I'm just going to drag and drop. And it will say, hey, you've already got, do you want to replace it? Yes, I do. And let's just, there we go. And then I also need my utilities folder. So I'm just going to drag and drop that. And then let's just apply and apply. And then last but not least is the views here. And you know what? I'm just going to make my life a little easier. I'm just going to drag and drop that as well. So I'll just go grab my views. Okay, so all that I did there was I grabbed a couple of files that we're gonna need for additional steps later on in the lab that I just didn't wanna have to manually type out. Now, what you're gonna notice as part of that collection here is they created a set of what are known as view models. And if you're not familiar with what a view model is, it's basically a class that's designed to represent how you want your data to look when it comes in from the user and how you're going to send it back out to the client. And this is nice to help simplify the different moving parts there. So that way, if I don't want to worry about every last property that exists inside of a contact, because you're going to notice there's a lot of them, then I can just focus in on the ones that I want. So for example, one of the things that Outlook will allow you to do is have multiple email addresses. Maybe I don't care. Maybe I only care about one. So I can use a view model to help simplify that. And so that's all that these little models are. They are in this namespace of MVC Research Tracker. I'm just going to rename that to be MVA Demo and just let that go universally. And that should have updated everything. It did. Okay. And that's just going to help make my life a little bit easier. Now, if we take a look at the My Contact here, what you're going to notice is that this is a very basic model class for MVC, that you'll notice that we've got the set of properties, you'll notice that we've got the set of display names, and all that good stuff. So we've got all of that right inside of there. And then you'll also notice that they gave us a little helpers, and all that this is doing is it's just simply acting as a wrapper around the session object. So that really is it. Okay, and then the last little thing, let me actually just go back to the lab, that'll make my life a little bit easier here. And I'm just gonna copy, copy, copy. And copy and paste. Okay. So the last little thing is it wants us to go into our controllers and into our home controller and replace everything inside of that home controller with the code. That was on that lab, and that's exactly what I've done here. So I've just gone in and updated that, and I just took out the MVC Research Tracker and updated it with my own. The other big thing that it wants us to do is it wants us to replace this with the name of our SharePoint site, and so that's gonna be Geek Trainer Dev, and that's gonna be whatever the name of your tenant happens to be, .sharepoint.com. So in my case, it's Geek Trainer Dev. SharePoint.com, so I can go in and put all of that in, and then there is the rest of our code. All right, so the first goal here, the first thing that we want to do is we want to see, okay, what's out there? What can we connect to, and how can we connect to it? And so the way that we're going to do that is by using the discovery service. Now, the first thing that we're going to need in order to use the discovery service is we're going to need, whoops, I didn't want that there. I want this. There we go. Okay, so the first thing that we're gonna need is two little objects here, your authentication context and your client credential. Now, if you're getting a compiler error on the Microsoft Identity Model Clients Active Directory. Remember again that this is going to be inside of that Office 365 AD for ASP.NET NuGet package. And it's that namespace that contains both of those objects. Now, what we're doing with these two items here is number one is we're going to go grab the authorization URI. That's basically where are we going to send out our username and password. And then we've got our client credential, and this is the client credential for the app. Because remember, again, the app must be trusted. And so that's what this is going to do, is this is where we're going to say, hey, this is the app, you trust us, you know us. And then up at the very top here, this is going to be where do we send our credentials. So that's the first two parts that we're going to be building here. Now, the discovery client is an object. And one of the best practices is when you set up your discovery client, is just go ahead and throw that into a cache somewhere. In this case, it's going to throw it into session object. Now, two things about caching this object. Number one, you want to do this on a user-by-user basis, because it will be different depending on the user. But number two is cache this the first time you grab it. Because one of the best practices, whenever you're talking about performance, especially in a cloud, is avoid round trips. And so if I don't cache this, every time that I want to go get a value back out of it, I'm now going to have to round trip back to Office 365. That's going to slow things down. So instead, I want to make sure that I hang on to that so that way I don't have to keep round tripping back.
And so you're being a good cloud citizen at the same time.
Exactly, yeah. You're being a good cloud citizen. You get a little badge for that. All right. Now, it is possible that the user hasn't authenticated. And the way in particular that we're going to know that is by this little thing called a code. If I scroll back up here, what you're going to notice on our index method here is that we're expecting a parameter of type code, which is going to be passed in on the query string. And that's going to be that huge honking code that Nick had displayed earlier. It's just going to be inside of the query string. So if we don't have that code, then we don't have any credentials that we can now use to handle the actual authorization. So we don't know, are we able to actually perform any work? So if we don't know if we're able to perform any work, we now need to authenticate. And so the way that we're going to authenticate is we're first going to say, hey, this is what we want to do, which is to create a discovery client. We're going to say, this is the app ID. And then this is going to be where we redirect back to after authentication. So that's what those first three parameters are doing. Now, the last two I really don't care about. The last two are just boilerplate code. So you can ignore those. Treat those stat amount to magic. These are the three important ones. So what are we trying to do? We need credentials for the app. And then finally, last but not least, once the user authenticates, where are we going to redirect them back to? Now, if the user has given us or provided a username and password, but maybe we haven't actually created the discovery client, then what we're going to need to do is we are going to need that authorization token. And so we're going to need to go back and say, all right, well, go ahead and set that up. And then what you're going to notice one more time is that this is going to be that code. For the user, this is going to be where do we want to go back to? And then last but not least, credentials for the application. So again, this is going to be representing our user. Where do we want to redirect the user back to? And then credentials for our application. Now that we've got our discovery client, now we can actually use it. So now you're going to notice that we've got our little discover capabilities. So we're going to discover two things, contacts and then files. And you'll notice the basic little names here, contacts and files. This will actually give us access to Outlook services. And then this will give us access to the user's OneDrive, which is going to be our SharePoint services. More on both of those in the next module. So we'll go ahead and save both of those, and then we'll go ahead and return all of that back out and save it. And I'm noticing I'm missing one line of code inside of here. I didn't actually cache the discovery client. Oh, that's funny. Not a problem. I'll just do that right here. There we go. Helpers, save and cache, and our discovery client. Okay, and the name of it was discovery client. I have a great memory. It's just really short. Okay. There we go. Perfect. So what I want you to notice here is that we're now going to talk to the discovery result, and we're just going to print this information out. And the main thing that I want you to get out of this, is that this discovery client and the two results are going to now give us access to the user's data. So right now, I don't know what URL I should be using to go access the user's contacts. I don't know what URL it is that I should be using to go access the user's OneDrive. That's what all of this is going to do. So let's go ahead and launch the page here. I do believe I have all the files, so I should be good to go there. We'll give this a moment here. Chugga, chugga, chugga. Hopefully this won't display anything email address-wise that I shouldn't. There we go. Thank you, Barry. Give this a moment.
That's a great
post. There we go. See? And I'm glad that we did it that way. Okay. So now let me go ahead and log on. And again, I'm logging on with my tenant. And now what you're going to notice here is it's going to say, all right, well, this is now the first time that you've used this app. Do you trust this app? Do you trust me, Nick?
100%.
100%. All right, Barry doesn't, but Nick trusts me. So
10%.
Okay. So what you're going to notice is that it lists off, this is all the different things that that we need to do. And then down below, we'll go ahead and hit accept. So I'm going to click accept. And then now this is actually going to launch my authentication service. And then away we go from there. Now, I should have mentioned, I knew it was going to give me an error message. And that's fine. I'll go in and fix that in the background here. The reason it's giving me an error message is because it didn't actually update my my namespace everywhere. So I just need to go in and fix that real quick. So Control H. So that's going to be my MVC research tracker and MVA demo. Again, great memory, really short. Okay. Well, you know, Control Shift H and replace. Dang it. There we go. Thank you. Okay. Now, take two here. Let's just go in and give this a real quick build. And now let's go ahead and I'm just going to clobber the code there and just start this over again. Okay. This shouldn't ask me to log in again. Yeah. So what I want you to notice, a couple of real quick things. Number one is that the login screen, even though you didn't see it, and the trust screen, both of those were provided by Office 365. The other thing that you will have noticed here is if I go back to this page again and I hit enter, you're going to notice that, of course, this time it didn't do it because it pulled the discovery client out of my cache. But the first time that it did that, it redirected a couple of times because what it needed to do behind the scenes was it needed to actually go out to Azure Active Directory, pull that information, and then bring that info back. And so now what you're going to notice is it's going to say, all right, well, if you want to go to contacts, you're going to go to outlook.office365.com. But if you want to go to the user's OneDrive or My Files, instead what you're going to do is you're going to go to that URL right there. And so now we're seeing all of that listed out. Okay. So just kind of real quick review here. Here's what we've done. What we did was we took a look at how we can handle our authentication and our authorization. And we also took a look how we can get in and kind of figure out, well, where do we want to go? Because again, the URLs are going to potentially change, not only just on a user by user basis, it is possible, but it could also change based on the person who's using your app. And one of the main goals, I really didn't actually want this shown up. Sorry about that. That's my fault. Barry tries to read my mind, and 99% of the time, he's actually right. I was just sort of doing something in the background, which is really my fault. But in any event, the main takeaway that I want you to get out of that Discovery client is you're going to be designing this app not knowing the organization that's going to be using that eventually. And so because of that fact, you want to make sure that you're basically asking, hey, where am I? So rather than hard coding in any URLs, go ahead and use that Discovery client to go ahead and connect up. And so that's actually what we've seen with this module. So now what we want to do is see how we can actually go get the data. Nick is furiously answering questions over there, so I'm going to keep letting him do that, and I'm just going to stop talking for the next 10 minutes, which I guess will give everybody here a break.